D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. A little time warp.
A little Rocky Horror for anybody? Anyone? Anyone?
Tomorrow's college football game of the week is number 5 Georgia versus Florida at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan following the Vanderbilt game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. He joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, I thought you would be pleased to know that Jeremy Pruitt is back in the game, hired by Jacksonville State as an analyst.
Well, I am a listener of you guys, and I heard Willie talking about it. And I think the right analogy for this is someone that was busted during Prohibition for selling bootleg liquor, bathtub gin, suddenly becomes like the biggest liquor distributorship in the country because it's legalized and you're out of Prohibition. So, you know, everything Jeremy Pruitt was doing with, you know, cash in McDonald's bags or whatever the food was. I don't think it was McDonald's. I've heard from someone that it was a little bit more high-end than McDonald's. But, you know, whatever he was doing that was obviously frowned upon during that time is now completely legal. So, yeah, he can go and be an analyst and not talk to players at Jacksonville State. But make no mistake about it. I mean, look at Bobby Petrino at Arkansas. These schools are shameless. If someone can help them win, he is going to be a defensive coordinator for an SEC team again at some point. He was too good of that when he was a defensive coordinator at both Georgia and for Nick Saban. So he's going to get another opportunity. If you can help somebody win, it doesn't matter what you've done. You're going to get hired. And I fully expect him to be a defensive coordinator in the next 3 to 5 years.
Let's talk about tomorrow's matchup between Vanderbilt and Texas. It's really, Chad, put up or shut up time for Texas. It's been a month since the Longhorns have played at home. They needed overtime to defeat Kentucky and Mississippi State in each of the past 2 weeks. Neither team has won a game in the SEC. So the desperation will be high in Austin for the Longhorns. Based on what you know about the Commodores, how do you think they will handle that desperate atmosphere tomorrow in Austin?
This is one of those weird games where everything you've seen from both teams makes you believe that Vanderbilt is the better team. They've been the better team on the field. They've got better wins. They've got better moxie about them in late-game situations. But yet here's Texas as a, 2.5, 3-point favorite in this game. And it's largely because it's at home. I do think that Texas has an advantage defensively. You know, I think their defense is really good. And I think that what we saw from Missouri and what they were able to do to Vanderbilt defensively, that Texas is going to have some good fortune defensively in this game. But guys, I haven't seen it with Arch Manning yet. I mean, I think Vanderbilt's defense is definitely the underrated part of this team. So I know that Molly McGrath is reporting that he's going to go through concussion protocol in the morning. And as long as he's cleared, he's going to play. But I don't know how Texas scores a bunch of points, whether he plays or the backup. So, look, I think Texas wins a close game and a low-scoring game in this one. But, man, oh, man, you're right about the pressure. I mean, suddenly 3 losses for Texas, you're out of the playoff race. You're staring the possibility of 7-5 right in the face. And then all this talk about Steve Sarkisian, the NFL, starts to make a little bit more sense if they go 7-5 with this Texas roster. And then on the flip side for Vandy, I mean, you're a win over Auburn and Kentucky away from punching your ticket, regardless of what happens in Knoxville, if you can win this game. I think 10-2 in the SEC is going to get you in. So they win this game on the road. I think their home wins over Kentucky and Auburn away from being in the college football playoff, regardless of what happens in Knoxville on Thanksgiving weekend.
Now, Chad, you brought up Sark, and I did want to ask you a question about it. And it's pertaining, say if he does leave, because right now, listen, Arch Hatton, you know, manifest into everything that everybody thought he would be, you know, at least by now. Has he been horrible? No, but it hasn't been what everybody has thought it was going to be. And maybe Sark is on a hot seat if they don't make it to the playoffs. I don't know. Or if they don't win, if they lose another game. But if he does, say if he does leave, Arch has 2 more years. Is that an indictment on possibly what he feel Arch may or may not do, or is it just his opportunity to go to the NFL as a head coach? Because when you have a talent like that as a head coach, that can only bolster your resume if you win a national championship. And if you believe he can, then you stay, don't you?
Yeah, yes, to the last question. I think two things are true here. I think Arch has been a massive disappointment this year. He may get a lot better. I think he will get better, and he could be better next year. But massive disappointment based on expectations and the star rating and everything else. And I think the other thing that's true is if you are a college coach right now in this unregulated era and you have a chance, let's say you're making $8 million or $10 million, whatever it is, if you have a chance to make close to that same amount of money to be an NFL coach, you jump at that opportunity. I mean, head coach in the NFL is far easier right now than what a college coach is dealing with trying to, you know, hold their roster down and no real contracts. Players can leave whenever they want. I mean, you're essentially dealing with a pro roster already. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with money demands. You're dealing with guys unhappy because someone else is making more money and threatening to leave. It's a lot harder right now as a college coach. So, again, if the money is close and you get that pro opportunity, the lifestyle, the quality of life, everything, I think it's way better than the NFL. And I do think that NFL teams should start to look to college coaches more often. The old adage, D-Mace, of, you know, a college coach can't do it simply because it's their way or the highway and you can't be a dictator in the NFL and these are grown men with families and mortgages and everything else. I mean, that's college coaching now. Like, you got to play the game in college if you're going to be a successful coach also. So I think that these college coaches are more ready than ever. The NFL game resembles the college game maybe more than ever. I think you should start looking at guys like this. And by the way, I completely buy the Diana Russini report. Mm-hmm. I think his agent has looked around and talked to the Titans or other teams, because a lot of agents are going to be doing that right now to try to see what their best opportunity might be. And again, if they lose this weekend, and let's say they lose a couple, I mean, that's 7-5 Texas, huge disappointment for a team that was expected to be, you know, playing for a national championship this year.
Now, what are your thoughts with UT? Because it seemed like UT, even after the Georgia game and the loss, there still was this buzz about UT, and they're still a great team. But then after the Alabama loss and how they looked, it seemed like, at least from a national standpoint, some of the shine has worn off. They still have an opportunity to run the table and make it to the college football playoffs at least. But what are your thoughts on UT as they head into the Oklahoma game?
I mean, they got to outscore everybody. It's that simple. Like, their defense is bad. You know, I don't know the reason for it. I know they lost a lot from last year. But, I mean, you want to talk about a group that's making Jermaine McCoy and Ricky Gibson and James Pierce and Omar Norman Lott and those guys from last year's defense look like world beaters. I mean, no one expected this level of drop-off from a really good defense from a year ago with some of the guys they had coming back. So it's been a struggle for Tim Banks this year. But on the flip side of that, you know, I look at them defensively. Oklahoma's got the best defense in the SEC, one of the best in the country. They've only forced 4 turnovers this year. Tennessee's defense, D-Mace, has scored 5 touchdowns this year and forced 10 turnovers. So, I mean, it's total feast or famine. It is, they are getting a pick 6 or a scoop and score, or they're hitting the quarterback hard, or they're giving up a 90-yard drive. And not really putting up much of a fight on third down. So, look, I think we're not talking enough about Joey Aguilar and his story. It's one of the best in college football. He was shunned at UCLA the same way Tennessee was shunned by Nico. And he's come up here, and he's the best passer in the SEC. He's putting up some of the best passing numbers in the country. He was incredible a week ago in Lexington, and he did not practice last week because of that injury he sustained in the Alabama game. He's been practicing this week. It's a great showcase opportunity for him. If he can put up big numbers and Tennessee can score a lot in this game, I would start to think about Joey Aguilar in the Heisman conversation as well.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, I've got one for part of a topic we had earlier this week, and that is, if you're Lane Kiffin, and it was funny because we were going through the history of Lane Kiffin, the weird time with the Raiders and then getting fired on the tarmac before he was allowed to get on the plane for USC. Like, this guy has been through a lot of stuff. The history of Lane Kiffin, that could be like a 5-season Netflix series. I don't know who would play Lane Kiffin. But if you're him, right? And you know, all you probably have to do is say the word, and he could have his choice of probably two or three premier jobs that traditionally would be a notch up from where he is right now at Ole Miss. But with all of the madness going on, could you argue that with him knowing the surroundings at Ole Miss, if he could get assurances that the resources could be comparable, that he would be better off staying at Ole Miss?
Absolutely. And Willie, yeah, and first off, Leo should play Lane Kiffin. He can play everyone else. He'd okay. be a great casting call. Similar age with both those guys. Now I think Leo's about to turn 50 or just turned 50 or right around there. So I think that'd be a good one for Lane Kiffin. Yes, I think you can make that argument at a lot of jobs. You know, what especially when you look at LSU, LSU is the best job available, right? History, recruiting base, fan support, all of that. I would give them the nod over Florida, who I think is the second best job right now that's available. But when you see what the governor is saying,
yeah,
and
they were talking about the AD, like the AD may not even be allowed to, like they're yeah, arguing whether he is allowed to be a part of the search.
The AD was fired too.
I mean, it's insane
at LSU.
Congrats to Louisiana for electing Bobby Boucher as the governor.
Do you really want to go there? Like we know that you have the players and everything, but like, do you really want to go to that?
No, not unless you're like John Sumrall will take it. You know, under what the conditions are, no matter what, he would take a job like that. But I mean, I heard his accent. I'm like, is this real? I thought it was an AI deepfake when I first saw the press conference because of the exaggerated accent. I mean, he's also not wrong that it is a conflict of interest that Jimmy Sexton represents the AD and all the coaches, and he's getting a lot of people filthy rich with these buyouts. And I would like to see an LSU do some sort of responsible, you know, incentive-based contract for somebody that's less on buyout. Maybe you give them a big signing bonus when they take the job also. It's going to attract some good candidates. You know, if I'm Tenney Dillingham at Arizona State and I'm offered the LSU job, I probably take it. But like you said, if you're Lane Kiffin and you're going to be in the playoff this year, which they should be, and you've done what you've done there and you know that you've got financial backing from the Grove Collective and from that school, I wouldn't leave Ole Miss. I really do think that Lane Kiffin fears another Knoxville exit. Like, I do think that whole thing shook him because he took his dream job and he got fired 3 years later because he didn't win enough. And he loved it in Knoxville. I mean, he talks glowingly about that job and how good it is and it's underrated and that, you know, knowing what he knows now, he shouldn't have left. I think that's in the back of his mind, guys. I now believe after watching that Jeff Landry press conference that Lane Kiffin's not going to take that LSU job. I think odds are that he stays put at Ole Miss. And the way college football is structured right now, why not? If they're going to pay you top dollar and they're going to continue to invest in the transfer portal with money for players, you can win and win big at Ole Miss just like you can at LSU.
Okay, so we've got Leo as the star. He's going to play Lane Kiffin in the Netflix series. So in the episode where Lane Kiffin leaves Tennessee, I can see Chad Withrow as an extra playing a Tennessee student and taking the mattresses and lighting them a fire in the in the dorms. Yep. You'd be all over that, wouldn't you, Chad? You get a couple of your buddies and reenact that?
I would love to do it. I'd love to do it, but with the age I'm getting, I'm going to have to audition to play the part of Bud Ford, the SID, in that telling everybody to shut up in the press conference. He was getting loose in that press conference, telling everybody to shut up when they were firing questions at Lane Kiffin the whole time. I mean, that was such a surreal scene when you look back on it. ESPN did that documentary, but it was – I mean, it didn't tell you anything you didn't know if you follow Lane Kiffin's career.
Right. It needs to be a drama.
I'd like to see the in-depth, you know, situation that's going on now with Lane Kiffin and all the stops along the way. And Al Davis, Christian Bale is playing Al Davis in the movie about John Madden, right? Nicolas Cage is playing John Madden. Christian Bale with a lot of makeup is playing Al Davis. I want to see Al Davis with the overhead projector again, too, calling Lane Kiffin a liar and a phony. Or
he's
whatever you called him.
We can see if Ryan Murphy is available to produce that Lane Kiffin series. Yeah. Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving and Adonik. He joins us every Friday at 4:20. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
You had American Sports Story, the Aaron Hernandez story, American Sports Story, the Lane Kiffin saga.
There you go.
I'm watching every episode of that. Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. Speaking of that phone number, it is Halloween, so why don't we give something away? If you would like a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Vancouver Canucks at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, November 3rd, so this coming Monday, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. If you are caller number 3, you will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators host the Canucks at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, 7:30 puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.